Well, just like we said this morning then, let's turn to Galatians in chapter 2. And this very familiar verse, verse 20, we're going to take a look at this verse as part of our series dealing with the grace of God. So Galatians 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So what Paul is doing in verse 20, he's explaining how he lives. What are the principles that guides his life? And we're going to see those principles together. Let's ask God to help us. Lord our God, we come together again this evening, and Lord, we recognize that it is worship that we are here to do first and foremost. You are God, and the whole of the heavens rejoice in you. And that church triumphant sings your praises. And Lord, we join ours along with the church throughout the world today, singing the praises of our God. And Lord, our God, as you speak to us, so we are able to worship you as we learn more about you and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our God, it may have been a busy day for us. We may sometimes struggle to stay awake. Lord, we ask you to help us to do so, that Lord, we may hear you, and that we may rejoice in you, that we may worship you. Lord, hear our praise and help us to understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin with a question, and I think the answer to this question will help us find a way into verse 20. So let's not assume all of us are Christians, but those of us who are Christians, have you ever looked at yourself and made a negative judgment? Have you ever at all, ever had the thought that I am not a very good Christian? Perhaps you've been looking at your prayer life, or you've listened to somebody in prayer meeting pray and you feel that your prayers are not like that. Perhaps you look at your life and how you live at home or at work, and then you think to yourself, I'm not a very good Christian, am I? If you've ever made that judgment about yourself, and I'm sure every one of us have, then this verse is for you. Because what Paul is laying out very, very carefully is that he never does that. He never looks at himself and finds fault. Now, I'm sure you're going to say, well, Neil, Paul wouldn't need to, would he? He was a great apostle. You said to us this morning, Neil, that Paul was chosen to lay down the Christian ministry, to be the very person who, through the grace of Christ, would lay down the pattern of church ministry. So Paul wouldn't need to, would he, look at himself and find fault? Well, if you're finding those objections in your minds right now, can I say very respectfully that you've missed the point? What Paul says is the first principle by which he lives as a Christian is never to judge himself. He does not look to find fault with himself. So whether he's good or bad, whether he's the chief of sinners or the greatest saint, Paul says it doesn't matter. What matters is you live by the rule of never judging yourself. Make it an absolute rule that you never find fault with yourself as a Christian. Now, how can we prove this from verse 20? Look at his opening statement. I have been crucified with Christ. It's very similar to the opening statement of Romans 8. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying to us is this. Judgment has already been passed on me. I've passed through judgment already. Because when Christ was on the cross, when Christ was being punished for my sins, I was in Christ. And the condemnation, the judgment, the punishment, the wrath of God on Christ, I was in Christ. So I have already passed through judgment. And if God has already judged me, then I do not judge myself. So for Paul, judgment was a past event. And because it was a past event, then he no longer allows himself any judgment about himself. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? We all hear different things when we listen to a sermon. And I don't know why that is. It's one of the mysteries, I think, of preaching. That I can think I've said one thing, and then people seem to hear something entirely different. I think I can preach an encouraging sermon, and people then say, oh, Neil, I felt really told off in that sermon this morning. So there is a mystery to it. So I'm going to say again, it's an absolute rule for the Apostle Paul not to find fault with himself as a Christian, not to judge himself. Now, I'm pretty sure that some of you, either today or in the week or in a month's time, will say, Neil, you know, I'm not a very good Christian. And I'll think, didn't you listen to what I was saying? Didn't you hear me just a few weeks ago when I said Paul does not find fault as a rule? He does not make judgments about himself. But I'm sure some of you will still say, oh, I'm terrible. I never witness, and I'm hopeless in the home, and I never, ever seem to do the right thing. Paul is clear. Let's follow his example. He's very keen that we should follow his example. We saw this morning, didn't we? Paul is a pattern of the grace of God. So he understands that he does not ever judge himself. Now, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we could go away from here and never again in our Christian lives condemn ourselves? Wouldn't that be amazing? That we've heard the word of God and that we have been able to say, judgment for me is a past event. I have been crucified in Christ. That judgment of God, which fell upon Christ, fell upon me. So I have been judged. I will never be judged again. So I do not judge myself. Do you know, there are times when I think there's something very dark in our hearts. It's almost as if we want to feel bad, or we want want to continue to look at the bad. We can hear a message like this and then simply carry on condemning, fault-finding, judging ourselves. So here's Paul's first principle. I have been crucified with Christ. So then he says this, it's no longer I who live. So he thinks about himself, not from the position of I or me, but he thinks about himself from the perspective of Christ. It is who Christ is. It is what Christ has done. That's how I live my life. If I'm at home, if I'm making my tents, if I'm preaching sermons, if I'm shipwrecked, persecuted, starving, I think of my life from the point of view of Christ and not the point of view of me. So I don't measure myself against myself, and I don't find fault with myself. I understand myself from the position of Christ. That's the first principle. And what he does, and I'm very glad he does, is he goes on to explain it. So here's his basic position then, okay? He never judges, never finds fault, never condemns, never criticizes himself, because judgment is past. So day by day, wherever he is, he understands himself from the point of view of Christ. So what does that mean then, Paul? Well, look at this next statement. So the life which I now live in the flesh. Paul lives in the flesh. Paul lives a life that's marked by struggle, and Paul lives a life of challenges, and he lives a life of mistakes, and he lives a life of battling and struggling. He lives in the flesh. And you know that word flesh, it's a funny old word, and I never like reading it out when it's in the text because it sounds so strange. But the idea of flesh is the idea of weakness. And the weakness can be in your bodies. So the life I now live in a weak body. This word flesh can also mean mental. So the life I now live with worries and dark thoughts and struggles. The same word flesh can mean living in the world with all the challenges and demands and responsibilities. I now live in the flesh. So what Paul is telling us here, life, day by day, it's a struggle. So think of his struggle. He was in prison, wasn't he? We've got those lists in 2 Corinthians where he details for us his experiences fleeing from city to city. Life is weak and difficult and hard for the Apostle Paul. So he's not saying to you, and he's contrasting himself, isn't he, with these others, he's not saying to you that because he's an apostle, life is easy. He's not saying because he's a man of faith, he's got no struggles. Paul never, ever will say to anyone that he's super, that he's wonderful, that he's amazing. Never will he do it. Now, I'm going to stop for a second, and I've not said anything for a long time about these terrible Christian so-called programs on the telly. But do you ever catch yourself watching them? And you'll have some guy or some woman up the front, And they start to tell you how amazing their life is. Have you noticed? They'll say that, oh, once they were struggling with depression, and once they were battling anxiety, and once they had a drink problem. And as Christians now, they'll be talking like this. They were once defeated and discouraged, poor Christians, getting nowhere. And now they're out the front, and their life's amazing, and they never worry, and they never struggle, and they never have to battle. How amazing they are. Why waste your time listening to such rubbish? The Apostle Paul had to fight against these so-called super apostles. He has to fight them in Galatia. He has to fight them in Corinth. These men who came along and said, look at us. We can overcome everything. Our faith is so smashingly wonderful. And our visions are so impressive. And our experiences are so spectacular that we never, ever have any difficulties. Now, that's not the Apostle Paul. Paul will tell you that every day's a struggle, that he burns with weakness, that he fights against his limitations, that he knows what it is to be downcast and perplexed. That's what Paul will tell you, because he's living in the flesh. Life is this weak thing, and it's either weakness in the body or weakness in the mind or weakness in our circumstances. It's a constant struggle. It's a daily battle. It's hard going. That's what Paul will tell you. And that's what it's like for us. There will never be a wonderful experience. And you will never have enough faith so that you will turn around and float on the clouds and live this wonderful life in the sunshine until your dying day. We live in the flesh. That's Paul's position in verse 20. But, and this is where we'll end, look at what he says next. I live by faith in the Son of God. That's his principle. So his first principle is never find fault with myself because I live in the flesh. I live a battle. I live a struggle. I live in the heat and the burden of the day. That's what it's like. I've fightings without and I've fears within. That's what it's like. But the life I live by faith. And there's one of Paul's great statements at the end of verse 20. So his second principle, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now, I'm sure you know, don't you, that you pay close attention to the words that Paul uses. So take a look at that very famous phrase. I live by faith in the Son of God. And tell me, what do you think is unusual about it? Don't go too far. We were saying in Wednesday night's Bible study, don't read into the verses of Scripture. Read out of them. Take out of the verses what is there. So look at that phrase. I live by faith in the Son of God. What's unusual about it? Usually, when Paul talks about faith, and faith always has an object, something that you have faith in, Paul will usually talk about faith in Christ Jesus. But here he speaks about faith in the Son of God. Paul is very clearly spelling out the glory of the one whom he has faith in. He's talking about the Son of God. That's the one in whom he has faith. And it's faith in the Son of God that he lives his life by, day by day. So he's taking your thoughts into heaven. He's taking your thoughts into eternity. He's taking your thoughts into the very heart of God. And he's saying, that's the one, the Son of God, whom I have faith in and whom I live by, day by day. And then look at what he says. Two things about the Son of God. Now again, you see, it's so subtle, isn't it? You could read easily in your heads, oh, I live by faith in Christ Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. Absolutely right, Paul. But Paul takes it up and he says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And the idea is that he lives every day by the knowledge that the Son of God, who has no beginning, the Son of God who has no ending, the Son of God who is equal in glory to God, loves the Apostle Paul. And the emphasis is this. Take a look at verse 20 again. I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me. And it's that individual understanding that matters. What Paul is able to say is the Son of God has a personal and an intimate love for me. And don't forget now, he's already told you, he's living in the flesh. He's living a life of struggle. He's living a life of weakness. And yet he lives that life knowing that the Son of God loves him personally, loves him individually, knows his struggles and his battles. That's what Paul knows. And then the final, he gave himself for me. So again, the individual emphasis is there for me. The Son of God gave, offered, submitted himself as the Son of God. The very Son of God surrendered himself, offered himself, gave up himself for me. And that gave up, it includes coming from heaven, taking our nature, living himself in weakness and struggle, going to the cross and dying for our sins. He gave up, gave himself to all of that for me. This past week, I had a conversation with somebody who's suddenly decided to become a Buddhist. And this person was talking about how we don't exist. That's what Buddhism tells you. Your body's not real. Even your thoughts are not real. That everything around you is a distraction. And thinking about other faiths, other forms of religion, there's so many voices, isn't there? So many opinions. But here we come to the ultimate meaning of Christianity. The Christian message is the message that the God who makes you, the God who creates the universe, the God to whom human beings give an account, that God died for you. That's the Christian message. It's the message of what God has done and not what we must do or what we are like. It's this great message that God's own Son, the eternal Son, the uncreated Son, He loved individually His people and then gave Himself. The idea is this, and it's a bit of a strange one, I suppose. But the idea is the Son of God lays Himself at our feet. That's the idea. There was no lower that He could do. There was no more that He could give. There was nothing else He had to offer but Himself. Himself as the Son of God. So freely and gladly and willingly He gave Himself up for me. Now that's how Paul lives, day by day. And he sees it in verse 21 as not setting aside the grace of God. It prevents him trying to do some good work, some law to keep, some rule to follow in order to please this God. This is Paul as a pattern of grace for us. So let's pull it all together. From now on then, we are not going to condemn ourselves. We are not going to say how terrible we are as Christians, that we are the worst Christians who've ever lived, that we are such poor examples of Christianity. That is going to stop, and is going to stop today, because we no longer judge ourselves, because we died with Christ. Condemnation is past. Judgment is over. There is no fault account ever required of us. We are not going to look at ourselves and judge ourselves according to ourselves. We will measure ourselves by Christ. What's He done? What does He say? What's true of Him? What do I have in Him? What's mine because of Him? What can I say about myself because of Him? That's how I'm going to think in work, in the home, in the struggles. That's how I'm going to think. So next, you and I live in the flesh. We are going to make mistakes. We are going to get it wrong. We are going to have to fight and battle, and we are going to find it difficult, and it's going to be hard, and it will always be a challenge. Our bodies will be a challenge. Our minds will be a challenge. Our situations will be a challenge. So we live in the flesh. But let's live that life with faith, looking to, trusting in, hoping in the Son of God. There is no one higher. There is no one greater. There is no one better. We have faith in the Son of God. And let's end like this. God's Son loves you. As you live in the flesh, as you live with all your struggles, as you beat yourself against every day, the Son of God loves you and he gave himself for you. There was nothing greater. There was nothing better. He gave himself for you. And in giving himself for you, he has given you eternal life, no condemnation, and instead there is glory. That's how Paul the Apostle lives. Well, let's pray.